Afternoon's data COVID update, and let me start by recognizing a family that sent in their masks to me, a family with all everybody wearing their homemade masks, and this is from the children of Emmeline, Isaiah, and Ruth, and so I wanted to thank their family for sending in those pictures to me. And a very kind note as well. I'm delighted to be joined today by Dr. Nate Smith, Secretary of Health, as well as Secretary Hurst of Parks, Heritage, and Tourism, and then today Kelly Eichler with the Little Rock Athletic Club as well. In terms of our case update, yesterday we had 3,192 cases. Today we are up 63 cases, which is our lowest increase in some time. That's 3,255 cases as of today. In terms of hospitalizations, we're up 2. We go to 95 hospitalizations, and we're up 2 deaths at 61. What is very encouraging to me is that yesterday, Dr. Smith informed me that statewide we performed 2,520 tests. That is the largest single day of tests in Arkansas, and Dr. Smith will have some more good news about tests a little bit later. And so we're delighted with both the increase in the commercial labs, the Department of Health, but also UAMS, all increasing their capacity and the tests that are taken, and that gives us a 1.5% positivity rate with that volume of cases, volume of tests being made. If we go to the charts quickly, the number of new cases, you can see again day by day in Arkansas, each day the new cases that we have, and of course today you'll see a continued downward trend there. And let me emphasize again, we could have anything happen and that goes up, but I do like to see that downward trend that we see. This is a seven-day rolling average. It's always cited in the New York Times of new cases. Seven-day rolling average of new cases with the typical bar chart, and then the orange is the seven-day average, and you can see the right trend line toward the end. And if you go to the next one, you'll see the hospitalizations in the same way that we have, what, about 90-some hospitalizations now. And so that is reflected also in that chart. This is just, we did this 2 weeks ago, and I know it's a very busy chart, but it's cases by county. And first of all, statewide, you can see that I've pointed out before, this is by date, starting March 11, and each day it goes. And where that red line is on the Arkansas statewide, that was April 25th, which is a date that I hope in history points out to be our peak. And so red means the highest number of cases. And then, of course, the less dark areas are the lower number of increased cases. And so we measured that statewide. That helps you to see trends. But then we also broke that down by county, and I want to give our Department of Health and GIS credit for helping to develop this. Lincoln County, where we had the outbreak at Cummins, you can see that sort of drove the high water mark and how that's obviously not had any increase in cases lately, or few of them. Pulaski County, Crittenden County, and each one of these you can see where the high water mark with the dark red is in terms of increased case numbers. And what you don't want to see is the red increasing on the very end of it. And you can see here in this county, Saline County, you can see that day before you had a red line, which means that they had the largest increase in cases, but they're still, this is, we're talking about 67 cases all total, so it's still a rather small number in that county. But we follow this data county by county, understanding the trend lines, not just statewide, but by county as well, and the cases in each county. And so thank you for your patience with that. Let me come back, though, and I promise that we'll continue to make announcements in terms of what restrictions we can lift, beginning with May 4th, of course. We look at that as to the day, as to what restrictions we can lift. And I did want to announce today that on May 4th, we will lift restrictions on gyms, fitness centers, and indoor athletic facilities so that they can resume operation, and they will have some limits and some social distancing, physical distancing requirements within of those facilities. But this will go through it a little more clearly. Gym and fitness center reopening May 4th, next Monday. There'll be screening for staff and patrons. You know, the questions as to no entry for recent travelers to New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, New Orleans, overseas. Those questions will be asked. Those with fever symptoms, recent contact with a COVID patient, they will be screened. And anyone with compromised immune systems or chronic diseases. Temperature checked for staff. There'll be face coverings for staff and patrons. These are not N95 medical masks. These are cloth masks that protect people there around. Face coverings for staff and patrons, except when actively exercising. And then there will be no pools, spas, showers, or saunas. We're not ready for that yet. And then hand sanitizer available, equipment sanitized after each use. And this is important. You know that we usually have a 6-foot social distancing requirement here in the gym and fitness center arena. We want to have a 12-foot distancing while working out and during training sessions and classes. Now, that's important because as you're exercising, you're exhaling greater extent, and so the typical breathing goes beyond the 6 feet. And so we want to have a little bit extra protective measures there. And then no personal contact within that gym environment. And this applies to gym, fitness centers, and athletic centers. I did want to emphasize for all of those who are engaged in summer athletics, teen sports, we're not ready to re-engage those yet. And so we'll have to take another look at teen and youth sports in mid to late May. And of course, right now we have a directive that prohibits those through May 31st. But we want to give some advance notice for everyone so they can plan the future. And so in mid to late May, we expect to announce and articulate what we can do or cannot do in terms of teen and youth sports for the remainder of the summer. Now, finally, before I turn it over to Dr. Smith, I want to emphasize that social restrictions are in place. Just because we're lifting some restrictions and opening up opportunities for us to start moving back to a more normal, we still want to maintain our downward curve. We want to be able to reduce the spread in Arkansas. And to do that, we have to have everyone appropriately socially distanced. We need everybody to still take this very seriously and not think, well, they're opening something up, so everything's back to normal. We still, as emphasized, wear our face mask when we can't socially distance. We want to maintain those distances so we can protect ourselves and protect others and protect our loved ones. It's all up to us as to how we do on this. And it's all up to us individually and collectively as to whether we make progress and be able to open more up or whether we are not successful and we have to retreat. So I'm calling upon everyone to take this continued seriously and to help us to comply with the very well thought out guidelines from the Department of Health. With that, Dr. Smith.
Thank you, Governor. I'd like to give some details, a little few additional details on the numbers. and then talk a little bit about lab testing. As the governor's mentioned, we've had 63 new cases, so our total is 3,255. Of those, 1,888 are active cases. We have no new counties. We have, as the governor may have mentioned, we have 95 currently hospitalized. That's a slight uptick of two. We have currently on ventilator 23. That's up five from yesterday. We did have two additional deaths, so we're at 61 deaths. And I need to mention that 22 of our total deaths are associated with nursing homes. We have now recovered 1,305, and that's up 56 from yesterday. To give a quick update on the correctional institutions, we have no new cases at Cummins, either staff or inmates. We do have a total of 13 who are hospitalized, and we still have three who are on a ventilator from the Cummins unit. We have had some additional cases reported to us from the Federal Correctional Institute in Forest City. We have 14 additional cases, so we have a total of 101. We have no new staff reported to us at this time. I want to mention about the lab testing. As a state, we did very, very well. Yesterday, we had 2,520 reports to us. Of those, a little over 2,079 were from commercial labs. We had 190 from the Arkansas Department of Health Public Health Lab, and we had 251 from UAMS. So they have really increased their numbers as well. The governor mentioned we have our total positivity rate yesterday was 1.5%. As we have started doing elective surgeries this week on a limited basis, there has been a challenge for some of those facilities, hospitals, ambulatory surgical centers, to get that testing done within the 48-hour window. We required that patients who be tested for COVID-19 within 48 hours of that surgery. It's welcome news then that we have one of our commercial labs that has stepped up to help fill in that gap. We have a number of commercial labs who have stepped up their capacity and are available to do that testing for hospitals or for other settings. But one is AEL Laboratories in Memphis. They have increased their capacity as of this week. Starting next week, their capacity will increase by 1,500 per day. And they are specifically setting aside 1,000 of those tests allocated to Arkansas hospitals and practices, guaranteeing a 24 to 30-hour turnaround time. And the information for that we've forwarded to the Arkansas Hospital Association, and we will be forwarding that as well to the Arkansas Medical Society. So those those surgical centers or hospitals that would like to avail themselves of those that service can get the contact information from there, or call the health department and get that from us. And I want to thank AEL Laboratories and all the other commercial laboratories that are helping us to scale up our capacity for testing in the state, not just for preoperative lab testing, but for all Arkansans who need to be tested. And with that, I'll turn it back over to the governor.
Thank you, Dr. Smith, and I want to emphasize how exciting that is for me to see that increased testing capacity and making sure that's available to our clinics around Arkansas. With that, I'm delighted to have Kelly Eichler here, who is the owner of Little Rock Athletic Club, who's impacted by both the shutdown of gyms and athletic clubs, but also obviously the lifting of some of the restrictions, and I wanted her to just give a reaction to this.
Well, thank you, Governor. I just want to say thank you so much for your pragmatic leadership, and to Dr. Smith as well. The Little Rock Athletic Clubs actually is owned by a group of people, so I am an owner. We have been severely impacted by this COVID pandemic, as I'm sure you understand. And we're excited, thrilled to be back open for business on May 4th. We look forward to welcoming our members, and of course, we understand the limitations that are placed upon our business by the Department of Health, and we're happy to adhere to those because the most important thing for us is to maintain the health and safety of not only our employees, but our nearly 7,000 members. We have four facilities, and we will make sure that all of those recommendations are followed at our facilities. CEO and part owner is Frank Lawrence, and he and his staff have done a tremendous job in formulating a recovery readiness and member experience guideline for each of our facilities. We are happy to give this to any facility that might be interested to see what we're doing as far as maintaining the safety of our clients, and we hope that others will follow it as well. The three main parts of the plan are to provide a touchless experience as much as possible, to maintain social distancing. Frank and his staff determined that an area of about 150 feet is probably, for one person, is probably the best area for a class size, for a class member to participate in aerobics or whatever classes they may be taking. And, of course, the main part is sanitization, and we will keep our facilities as clean as possible. We envision posting employees throughout our facilities that would be wearing different colored shirts. And much like a lifeguard would be monitoring a pool, these will be called health guards. And they're actually there not to police our facilities, but to enable our clients to have the necessary wipes, chemicals, whatever they need to wipe down their equipment before and after they use them. These health guards will also be responsible for maintaining the social distancing and making sure that everybody remembers that though we're excited to get back to life as normal, as sort of normal as possible, that we still have to maintain a social distance in order to maintain our health. I tend to nag the governor, I'm sure he'll tell you, tried to emphasize to him that those members of our city and our state who prioritize a healthy lifestyle, we want them to get back to their exercise regimens, to maintaining their health. And we believe that that will help stem the rise of this pandemic. The guidelines promoted by the health department can be found. I asked this because I didn't know where to find them, at healthy.arkansas.gov. That's the health department's website. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to the athletic club. The number is 501-225-3600. They'll be happy to provide you with this plan that we're promoting for our facilities. I also want to say thank you to Dr. Cam Patterson at UAMS. I asked Dr. Patterson to review our plan. He called me back almost immediately and said he thought it was great, with the exception of promoting wearing masks during high-intensity exercise. So we have revised that. We're going to ask our members to wear masks between exercise or when they're on the weight floors, but during cardiovascular exercise, such as exercise bikes or treadmills, that they remove the mask. And we're going to take out about half of our equipment to make sure there's enough space so that you're not breathing on one another. Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Thank you, Kelly. And I want to thank again Secretary Hurst for helping to lead the effort through the Recovery Task Force in this particular area. And with that, we're happy to turn this open to questions.
How about the smaller facilities like Orange Theory, perhaps the smaller classes? It's hard to maintain 12 feet for those particular places. So what's the advice for those businesses that might be reluctant to open because they are unable to enact that 12 feet rule?
Well, I hope that they will look at this carefully, and I think most facilities can have some capacity even with that distancing requirement. But we also recognize this is where we are right now, and if we're going to have any opportunity for any opening, this is the best place that we can be right now for safe activities. And as we progress through this, we hope that this can change down the road in phase two and phase three. But that's where we are from a health standpoint and from a safety standpoint. And we spent a lot of time on those and believe those restrictions are necessary. Dr. Smith, did you want to add to that any?
I think the smaller facilities can also be creative in how they angle people. The main risk is face-to-face contact. And if people can, the equipment can be arranged so where people are not face-to-face, that will also help to reduce. But obviously, the smaller facilities are going to be limited at this point.
Mike?
A couple legislators, including a couple of your friends, have raised concerns about the rollout of the Arkansas Ready for Business program. Some of them are suggesting that people were tipped off in advance, that in the program showed some favoritism.
Well, first of all, we were incredibly surprised with the response to the Ready for Business grants. And while it was not, it was rolled out prematurely. We did not have legislative council approval, and you know that yesterday when I was here, I said there's two things need to happen first, and one is the steering group approval and then legislative council. Well, there was the gun was jumped on that, and the website went live, and it was a typical rollout because as you present a new grant program, you want to make sure that as many stakeholders as are possible are aware of that. And so those steps were taken. So it was not an issue of favoritism. It was a matter of this is how you get information out about a new small business grant program. But let me talk about the results of it. And again, this was when we realized it was prematurely put up, it was brought back down. But during the time frame, which was less than an hour, that the Ready for Business grant program was on the website, we had over 2,300 businesses applied for grants that totaled over $36 million. 92%, and this is important, 92% of the applicants had fewer than 50 employees. And so it was able to make sure that we're reaching the small employees that we were interested in as well as everybody that needed help. 59% of the applicants had fewer than 10 employees. And 57% of the requested amounts were for businesses with fewer than 50 employees. That's in a dollar amount. And so we were educated by that response, and now what we have to do is to work with the legislature to see, are we going to increase the funding for this? How do we, I think we're, it shows that it's really going to the people that were targeted, which is primarily those that are struggling, that have had their businesses impacted, the small business people, and that's who responded to it, as well as we want to have some of the others that have access to it. But I was delighted with the fact that 92% of the applicants during that short window period came from the small, very small business category, 50 and fewer employees.
Before you announced the program at your news at your news conference, how did you make people aware the program was coming, or didn't they get advance notice of that? I mean, was it a group of lobbyists? Was it the state chamber? How did you make that?
Well, the Department of Commerce, if we roll it out next Monday, if we're going to open up a website next Monday for a grant program, we're going to notify the Retail Grocers Association or the small business or the pharmacist that might would apply for it. We're going to notify the Hospitality Association because this is geared toward many in the Hospitality Association. That is, we want to notify the National Federation of Independent Business. We, all kinds of different groups, we want to make sure notified, including, you know, those in the small minority business category. And so that's the kind of outreach we always do before we roll out and put something live like this. It was something we want to work with the legislature to see whether we want to increase the amount of funding, whether we want to make any other changes in it. And the important thing is that everybody's going to have an opportunity to go back online and make their application in for this grant program.
Do you think you moved too fast with it?
Well, I said that already. Yes, we did. When I say move too fast forward, it was put on the website prematurely because we didn't have the approvals that I indicated we need to have. Now, in terms of did we try to push this forward too quickly? The answer is no, because there's a great urgent need that's out there. We have small businesses that are hurting, that need help, and we set, May 11th for the opening of restaurants with limited conditions, and they need assistance in modifying their restaurants and getting ready for that. So there's a great urgency. We want to get this out very quickly. And so we didn't move too quickly. It's just that we put it up on the website prematurely.
You say you're going to put it back up again so more applications can be made?
I expect that to happen. I think it's important to happen because it was up for an hour and then it was taken down because we did not have that approval that I knew was necessary. And so I do believe it will need to go back up, and I would expect that as a matter of fairness. For those that might not have had notice of it, of course, I did announce it here, but we didn't say exactly when that website was going to go up. And so I do hope and expect that to happen, hopefully early next week.
So it was not a first-come, first-served process for applicants?
Of course, everybody who applies has to be verified in terms of their need, in terms of whether they qualify for it, whether they got the right information in, whether they've paid their taxes, and all of the other things that ought to be cared for. See, first of all, you have to qualify, and then once you qualify, the intent was that it would be based upon whose applications got in during that window. I think that has to be reconsidered somewhat if we do put more money in or we change the program any, and we obviously will open up the application time again.
Is any ballpark idea of how much you would put back into that fund since $15 million got snatched up pretty quick?
I know better than to put an amount there because that's a legislative decision and requires legislative approval. And so that's something that we'll be working with them to see what is the right amount that we can put in there.
Just
yes.
On that issue, how did that end up getting put on the website prematurely? Was that just a mistake by an employee at the Commerce Department? Or
I would say that is the result of people working remotely, people working quickly and trying to get the job done, and it was just a simple failure of clear communication, which I take responsibility for.
So if no one's been approved, how do we know the money's run out? I mean, you could estimate, but that's...
Well, theoretically, if all of the 2,300 applications were bogus, there wouldn't be any money going out. But I would expect that a large percent of those 2,300 business applications have merit, and if they total those, that would be $36 million. So you're right. Maybe the money hadn't run out because we had $15 million. We don't know the answer to that because we have not processed those, and we have not evaluated those, approved any of those. So none of them have been approved yet.
So you won't reopen the website until that processing is done?
We won't reopen the website until we know exactly how much money we're putting in there and whether any changes need to be made in the program.
I guess in terms of gym reopenings, are basketball courts, as part of that, because I know the North Little Rock Athletic Club has got some. I don't know if Little Rock does as well, but are those going to be opened up? Because I don't need to mention those specifically, and that's right up your alley.
Well, because I do love basketball, I want to play. That was probably the topic of the longest conversation with Dr. Smith. The fact is that team sports are not permitted under these guidelines, and for some clear reasons that Dr. Smith explained to me, that with a basketball you can actually be passing along the virus when you pass a basketball. And so For that reason, if you go into a gymnasium with one person by yourself and shoot baskets, obviously that is permissible. If you go in with one other person and each of them have a basketball and they're shooting their own basketball, that's permissible. So there's some levels of practice that can be done, but there cannot be any team sports. And Dr. Smith, did I explain it?
Absolutely.
And we hope that we can get, we know that's a great need out there, and we want to be able to do more. We'll be looking, reevaluating that in mid-May. Oh, sure.
So I wanted to address this gentleman's question about smaller health clubs or gyms that might not be able to comply with the with all of the guidelines set out by the health department. The health and safety of clients is far and way far above the interest of the business. So we are adhering to these guidelines that they've set out in their infinite wisdom about maintaining that health and safety. That's first and foremost. With regard to facilities that can't meet those, this is a time to be innovative, to be creative. And there are all sorts of things they can do in order to comply one way or another. It's not going to be a world as we knew it before this pandemic. I talked to one facility last night, a climbing gym in Bentonville, and of course you can't have a touchless experience with a climbing wall. It's not possible. So they have located a product that's chalk, which is 75% alcohol-based, to clean the wall and to possibly kill as much of the virus as they possibly can, as much germs as they possibly can. But as you can see, everybody has their own obstacles that they have to overcome. And so I think this is a time where we look at our own specific facilities, recognize what the issues are, and come up with creative solutions. So,
good point. Is there a question remotely?
Governor, it's Rolly Hoyt, 11. I'm curious for both you and Dr. Smith, where are we at in terms of the science for how this virus spreads outdoors? It seems like now we're able to go running on a treadmill inside as long as there's nobody 12 feet around us, but can we jog in a crowded park? But in a lot of places we can't because the parks are closed because of fears of them getting too crowded. Where are we at in terms of being able to swim and being able to run outdoors?
In terms of outdoors versus indoor activities, we do know that that UV light can help to inactivate the virus to some extent, and that wind and open air can disperse it so that there's a less concentration. But we also know there are risks, especially, for example, running. When people run, there's the movement of air around them can leave a plume of virus behind them. So it is important when exercising outdoors, whether it's running or something else, that we leave plenty of space between individuals. But outside is good, and there's usually more space outside as long as people are not clumping together. That's a good thing. In terms of swimming pools, we're not ready for that yet. Swimming pools do tend to be a place where individuals, especially children, will naturally clump together quite a bit. And also indoor pools, even if it's adults, they have to shower before they use those pools, and showers and are areas where people congregate and can be a place where COVID-19 can spread. So we're not quite there yet, but we will try and open those activities up as soon as it's safe to do so.
If I may, that sounds to a layman just being in the middle of a chlorinated body of water. It seems like something that would kill the virus, but you're saying there's still too much of a risk.
It's not so much being in the chlorinated water. It's being in the shower room with other people and lots of surfaces that have been touched and are hard to keep clean.
What's What's the earliest the governors will be playing basketball?
Come by the mansion in the evening, and you can watch me play all alone. Is there another question remotely?
Yes, Governor. Yes, this is Anna Hunter from Five News in Fort Smith, Fayetteville.
Okay.
My question has to do with elective surgeries. I'm told that Dr. Bledsoe with ADH held a conference call with Arkansas doctors yesterday regarding elective surgeries, and that meeting got quite heated. Doctors are saying that the guidelines are too difficult to meet, especially the 48-hour requirement for negative testing, because either the tests are taking too long and those surgeries have to be canceled, or the tests are just not available. Will you tell us what was discussed on that call, especially the doctor's concerns, and if you think the guidelines are too rigid and should be relaxed for elective surgeries?
Well, of course, that's one of the reasons that we have this relationship that we're building for the testing capacity. And so we're working with the clinics to make sure they have that testing that's available and that we can accomplish that 48-hour goal. But Dr. Smith, were you, I don't know if you were on that call or not.
I was not on that call. Of course, I heard about it afterwards, and we had already received some similar complaints before that, we want to be sensitive to that. We acknowledged at the very beginning of this that not all facilities are equally well prepared to do this, and for some it's not yet going to be possible. We're trying to make that possible for all facilities, though, by expanding the lab capacity, and particularly this relationship I mentioned with AEL, where they have a certain number, 1,000 a day. That's quite a few that they're willing to guarantee within that 24 to 30-hour time frame, which is certainly less than 48. Now, I know that there are some who are concerned about this, and we were getting complaints even before 48 hours had gone by. So I think sometimes there's worry, even sort of anticipatory worry, people worried about it before they've even tried to see if it's going to work. So hopefully we can work with those who are prepared and ready and get as many of those cases done as possible. As time goes on, there'll be more laboratory capacity, and over time we'll be able to relax some of those rules. But right now, this is what I think we need to do to keep that safe, keep staff safe, keep other patients safe as well.
And let me add that just, I believe it was yesterday, I had a call from a surgical clinic that was concerned about not being able to get the test within 48 hours, and they haven't been able to build a relationship with the lab to accomplish that. And I put them in touch with UAMS and Dr. Patterson, and they quickly texted me back and said, we got the problem solved. And so if there's any clinic that sees this as a problem and they're challenged, I would encourage you to be in contact with the Department of Health so we can set up a relationship with the lab or with UAMS so we can make the connections necessary to make sure those tests are done in a timely fashion. One more question remotely, then we'll come back to the table. All right, Allison, I can hear you.
Yes, with 4029, thank you. Do you have any guidance for gyms about traceability or notifying patrons what they need to do if there happens to be a client or a patron who tests positive for COVID-19?
Well, of course, if they're known to have tested positive, they shouldn't be in the gym. Or if anyone that a patron has been in touch with somebody that's had COVID-19, they are supposed to disclose that and not participate in the gym activities. In terms of if someone pops up later as being positive, then that's when the contact tracing becomes very, very important to know exactly who the contacts are with and to deal with that. Dr. Smith?
Yes, as the governor stated, as soon as we find out about a positive case, and all these cases, the labs are required to be sent to us at the Department of Health, we'll do that contact tracing. If there is a facility involved, and if the individuals who have been exposed at that facility can be contacted directly, we'll do that first. In some cases, that can't happen. And so we make a more of a public announcement. But in most cases, we can contact anyone who's been exposed in a short period of time, get them in for testing on our expanded testing guidelines, and also make sure that those who have been exposed are in self-quarantine for 14 days. Those who have been those who have symptoms and test positive are isolated. Now the CDC has extended that out to 10 days, we've extended that out to 10 days for those who are in isolation.
And let's come back to the table. Then we'll. Is there any other questions at the table? Go ahead.
On the gym issue. Under the second and third phases of this, do you know what that will look like? What will change under the next phases?
It's undetermined. We want to get there as fast as we can, but safely. And so we want to measure all of this, and we want to see success. We want to see the continued decline in our cases, and there are trajectories going the right way. We want to see the capacity of our testing to grow in Arkansas. So we measure all of those, and then we'll see when we are ready to go to phase two. And that would be true whether it's gym and athletic clubs or whether it is in terms of our restaurants. Jay.
Is there any update on what we're looking at in terms of liability for all these businesses, or is that still kind of the important fruit?
Well, I know there's a lot of discussion about that. There has not been any resolution of that. And so that has to be managed by the individual employers until we get some type of tort reform in place in Arkansas. We don't have that yet. Yes, ma'am.
If the mayor, say Mayor Scott, if he chooses to not open a Little Rock facility for exercise, may he, like the War Memorial Gym, or does this require him to open city?
No, if there's a city facility that's owned and operated by the city, then he can certainly make his own judgments on that. Remotely, I heard one gentleman remotely try to ask a question.
Yes, sir, Governor. It's Lance, Governor, Arkansas Business. I was wondering. Was there a legislative council meeting, this is in terms of the Ready for Business Fund, was there a legislative council meeting that was imminent, and I guess was the thinking that you would post this stuff yesterday and just be ready when that approval came? I mean, Mike Preston said yesterday that those applications would be on the AEDC website that afternoon. So was that the thinking, that there was a meeting that was coming up and we would get that approval and things could just run on through the pipeline?
The website should not have gone up until we had legislative council approval. I was aware that would not occur until the next morning. The process is that we notify the legislative council. They've got a process to work through to get a response to us. And so, again, that was just a miscommunication, and I accept responsibility for that, but that website should not have gone up until after we had legislative council approval. Yes.
How long do you think it will take for you to go through the applications, the current applications that came in yesterday? How long do you think that process will take?
Well, right now it's on hold until we get clarity on when we're going to reopen that application process. We want to be fair to all the businesses in Arkansas to give them an opportunity. We want to give adequate notice on that. But we also want to get it done quickly. And so I'm hoping that Monday is a time frame that we can reopen this. But we've got to work with the legislature and on the funding side of it, as well as the specifics in terms of the grant. So as to how long that would take, I know Secretary Preston's got a crew ready to start the evaluation and measuring to make sure that's done. But it will take a couple days to be able to process those applications at a minimum. All right, I think we're good for today. Thank you all very much. All right, we have another question. Yes.
Yeah, sorry. Some healthcare facilities in other states are still reporting a PPE shortage.
I'm just curious what the current state is of the PPE supply is in Arkansas. And with restrictions being lifted, is there any fear that this could cause a possible surge that could threaten that supply?
Director A.J. Gary is here, who is always meets with us prior to coming into the 1:30 report. And I ask him what's the latest news on our PPE and our equipment. And it was all good news. We had a shipment that came in yesterday that they're working now to get distributed to our distribution centers through our hospitals around Arkansas. And so we're comfortable right now in terms of what we need for our healthcare community. In terms of the dental procedures that we're opening up May 18th, there is concern that they, and that's one of the reasons they have additional time, is that they need to have surgical masks. They need to have a higher level of masks for those procedures, and so we're given more time to allow that supply chain to happen. And then beyond that, we're looking at our restaurants. We're looking at a whole host of businesses, but they're all non-surgical. They're all non-medical. They are masks just like I wear in here that are, can be homemade. They're cloth. And so you've got to distinguish those, as we've tried to do, so there nobody has to think, well, I can't open up my restaurant till I get the surgical mask. Well, that's not true. And the same thing for Jim. So there has to be a lot of clarity on what types of masks are needed. But we're working with them, and we, right now we have a good supply chain that's coming in for that, and I think it will continue to improve. All right, with that, good. Thank you.